Hello? Can people hear me? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I hope you can continue to hear me during the talk. Okay, so today, as Daniela introduced, my name is Jimmy Ryan, and I'm going to be talking about causally propagating matter in group field theory. Now, Daniela this morning gave us a plenary talk on group field theory and various aspects of that. And although I hesitate to repeat much of what he says, I should reiterate some of the points in a more specific context. And that specific context is going to be that I'm going to be dealing with 3D group field theories. So the first thing I'm going to talk about... So the first thing I'm going to talk about is I'm going to give a basic definition of group field theories in three dimensions. And group field theories were kind of born out of the idea that we would be able to repeat the successes of matrix models in 2D by actually dealing with higher tensor models. So in this case, it's going to be the field is going to be a 3 tensor. The successes haven't been built upon so far. So we have to deal with the perturbative regime in general. And in its perturbative expansion, these 3D group field theories will generate Feynman diagrams where their Feynman amplitudes their Feynman diagrams are related to 3D triangulations, or should I say simplicial manifolds. And the Feynman diagram amplitude is related to the 3D quantum gravity amplitude coming from the Ponsano-Roegner model. Okay. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is a very specific model, the Bulatov model, and its relation to 3D gravity. So that's exactly what that's going to be. Afterwards, I'm going to introduce a new subclass of 3D GFTs, and which I'll give the motivations for doing that at the time, and their relation to quantum gravity. As you can see here, the basic motivation will be to include causally propagating matter in the group field theory approach. Now, recently, matter inclusion in spin foam models has received an increasing interest with the combination of an effective field theory for matter, a non-commutative field theory, when one sums over the gravity degrees of freedom and looks at the remaining degrees of freedom of the matter sector. This effective quantum field theory is born out of coupling Feynman diagrams of standard field theory in the spin foam formalism. And I'll explain more about that later. So, the spin foam formalism can be seen as arising as in the perturbative expansion of the group field theory. And the effective field theory, matter effective field theory Feynman diagrams, are the effective limit of these coupled spin foam diagrams. So if the effective field theory is the second quantized relative of these of the effective matter sector, and if the group field theory is the second quantized version of the gravity sector, then perhaps we can merge these two ideas and have a group field theory with causally propagating matter, second quantized as well. And hopefully we can see this effective field theory arise as a subset of amplitudes. Okay, so the kind of level zero introduction to 3D group field theories. So, as you can see, 3D group field theories are made up of a group, a field, and a theory. And the group is generally taken to be a Lie group, and its elements will be denoted G. The field, well, that's a complex field over 3 copies of the group. And it's 3D because there are 3 copies of the group. Now, the theory itself, well, it looks, at the level of the fields, it looks like a standard phi to the 4 quantum field theory. But we'll show in the next few slides that it has a more structure than that. And since we're dealing with a second quantized formalism, I'm going to define the path integral as we normally would. And as I said earlier, we're not good at dealing with the non-perturbative regime of this theory so far. We don't have the control over it. But we do know a lot of things about its perturbative expansion. And so I'm going to do some analysis on the Feynman diagrams of that theory. Okay, and obviously the constituents of each individual Feynman diagram is going to be an edge and four valent vertices, which have the usual labels, the propagator labeling the edge, and the vertex amplitude labeling the vertex. Okay. So onto the more specific Bulatov model. So this is so this was developed in the early 90s by Bulatov. The group, well, it depends on what kind of manifolds you want to generate in the perturbative expansion. If you want these manifolds to be endowed, these simplicial manifolds to be endowed with a Lorentzian metric, then you'll choose G to be SU11. If you want them to be endowed with a Riemannian metric, you choose the group to be SU2. And once again, the field is a complex field over three copies of the group. And now it becomes the more interesting part. So we choose a projection onto the field. So we project it onto its diagonal G-invariant part. And I'll come back to what that means in a graphical sense later on. Furthermore, the field is complex. And the complex nature of the field is related to its orientation. So if we take the complex conjugate of the field, we have to reverse the order of the arguments. So, well, I mean orientation in the sense when I come back, I'll refer to the field as a triangle. So it'll be oriented in a different way. Okay. So the theory, well, it's a theory over, so it's phi squared. So that's the, I should take this. So there's a phi squared term. And then there's the phi to the 4 interaction once more. Now, now that I've written out the terms, not just the fields, I've written out the arguments, we see that there's some, well, I can see, but maybe you can't see the indices. There's a non-local coupling of the field arguments. So as an example, that is a 1, by the way, and this is also a 1. So and there's others in there. So there's 6 arguments, and they're shared pairwise between the fields, but I'm afraid it's a bit blurry up there. Now this non-local coupling of the arguments gives our Feynman diagrams extra structure. So we really need to not just trace the propagation of the field, but also the propagation of each individual argument. So since the field has 3 arguments, we replace the in our graphical calculus, we replace the edge by 3 lines, and we replace each of the incoming edges to the vertex by 3 lines, and they're shared pairwise between the four incoming single lines on the left-hand side. So the Feynman diagrams, with this extra structure are known as 3D spin foams. And they can be shown to be topologically dual to 3D simplicial complexes. So in the following sense, each of the 3 lines is dual to, so an edge is dual to a triangle, and each of the red lines labels an edge of that triangle. And as we see, there are 4 sets of 3 lines coming into a vertex here, so that's with a tetrahedral symmetry. So they generate tetrahedra. And that justifies our interpretation of the field as a triangle. Now, excuse me. As I said a moment ago, our field here is projected over its right diagonal part. Okay. And if we look at this field theory, we have phi, and phi to the 4. But apart from the combinatorics, without the projector, if we were to neglect the projector, it's a pretty trivial field theory, in the sense that it's just it would just give us delta functions. But once we integrate out the G's, we'd be left with no information whatsoever. But what happens is that the projector actually gives us the real dynamical variables of this theory. They're the ones that give us the information on the Feynman graph. Okay. So when we do our perturbative expansion and we construct a Feynman graph, that is, we glue tetrahedra together. Then, okay, this was shorter when I was in practicing. So when we construct our Feynman diagrams, that is when we glue tetrahedra together along adjacent triangles, we're going to end up with an amplitude, Z gamma, for each Feynman diagram that's going to be labeled. Each face of that Feynman diagram is going to be labeled by a delta function over the holonomy around that face. Okay? And that particular Feynman diagram amplitude can be shown by decomposing this in representations to be exactly the Ponsano-Rege amplitude for that triangulation. So the Bulatov model generates, as its perturbative expansion, Feynman diagrams labeled with the Ponsano-Rege amplitude. Okay. So now I'm going to introduce a new class of 3D GFTs. Okay, so I'm going to say what I'm doing first, and then I'm going to say why. Usually, as I just explained, the Feynman diagram amplitude that we generate labels each face of the spin foam. That is, each face of the spin foam with the holonomy around that face, and it imposes flatness. But the Feynman diagram amplitudes that I want to generate with this group field theory, is I want to invert the importance of each structure. So I want my Feynman diagrams to have the same spin foam structure and triangulation as a dual, but I want the holonomies to go around the triangles, and that will provide a much easier way to couple, I believe, matter causally in that case. Okay. Now these amplitudes here, because 3D gravity is a topological invariant, this is completely equivalent to a Feynman graph with the amplitude going around the dual plaquette, okay, around the face here. So this amplitude turns out to be the same. So one motivation was to... Oh, okay, there's two more. So one motivation is allows for more interesting dynamics in the kinetic term of the group field theory, as we'll see. It allows to couple causally propagating matter. Now, Daniele Arriti and myself have already coupled matter to the Bulatov model. But once you couple that matter, you find that the Feynman diagrams that you generate, from the matter side, you get the Hadamard function for that matter propagation. And that's all fine, because, I mean, you may want to couple matter to the Ponsano-Rege model. But on the other hand, you may want to calculate transition amplitudes for that matter. So one would like to be able to couple causally propagating matter also. There's also work undergoing by Daniele Arriti and Tamer Tlass, which will appear, that has, based on Daniele's generalized group field theory formalism, where they couple matter also. And that will be causally propagating. And there's a very nice paper recently out by Winston Fairbairn and Etera Levine, where they find that matter can occur in group field theories as a perturbation around a classical GFT solution. And of course, my main motivation was to identify the effective field theory for matter as a subsector of those graphs. So what are we going to do? So I want to generate pure gravity amplitudes where instead where the Feynman diagram amplitude has a delta function around the holonomy over the holonomy around a triangle. So I'm going to once again deal with a projected field where I project the field down onto its onto basically the flat sector. And The field theory action, once again, is, apart from the combinatorics, is very trivial. The kinetic term is very simple. So once again, it's the fact that I projected the field is going to give me the interesting dynamics. And so I find when I actually do the perturbative expansion of that field theory, I will get the amplitudes that I'm looking for in pure gravity. So I will also want to couple causally propagating matter. So what I find is that I'm going to propose a new field also just for the matter sector. So this is going to be gravity coupled to matter. And this field is going to be over three copies of S of G. And it's also going to be in a representation of ISU. Well, a representation of the inhomogeneous counterpart of G. So in this case, maybe the Poincaré representation. So if I want to take the simple one, for scalar matter, I'll choose the trivial representation. And I'm just going to choose a psi square term with the a familiar kinetic operator. This is we're in momentum space here, so this will be the momentum of the particle. And 5, 4. Oh. Well, if it was 5, it'd be okay, but I mean 4. Oh my god. And the interaction term, well, it's going to be a trivalent interaction over the psi's, and I'm going to have a pure gravity field in here also. So because I'm going to want to couple it to gravity. Now, the full matter action is the sum of the action that occurred on the previous page and the matter action that I've just defined above. And the Feynman amplitudes that I get are flatness for triangles, for the velocities around triangles that have no particle, and the Feynman propagator for the particle around, for edges that have a particle going, propagating along them. So to see that visually, the triangles are going to be endowed with holonomies, and they're going to traverse this way, and the particle is going to be identified as propagating along these edges. So for a pure gravity edge here, the holonomy around this triangle is going to be forced to be the identity, and for the holonomy around here, well, I'm going to have the propagate, for this face here, I'm going to have the propagator for the particle along that, along the dual edge. So, matter EFT uses. So, one second. So it was these amplitudes here that are the spin foam amplitudes occurring in, Ponsano Reg A3, effectively. And it can be shown that these amplitudes, once one simplifies the gravity sector by integrating over these variables, that it can be generated as a Feynman graph of an effective field theory. Okay, so something that looks rather similar to the field theory that I mentioned a moment ago. I mean, we have a psi square term and a very similar propagator. Where p is the momentum of the particle, m is its mass, and we have a psi cubed interaction term plus its Hermitian conjugate. One. Don't worry. All will be okay. Well, maybe not. Okay, so. So I want to reduce this action, this pure gravity plus matter coupled action. And the thing about the effective field theory is that it has the assumption that the ambient three space is a three sphere. Now, we know from group field theory that we're going to generate a sum over more topologies, actually all topology, all superficial topologies, but not so more than just the three sphere. So that we can see that the effect of the space-time away from the the space-time away from the particle, if that has trivial topology, then it's equivalent to inserting a field phi as the delta function over the three arguments into the matter couple sector. Okay? Because this will only be interested in the sector of our space-time where there is a Feynman diagram propagating, our present particle propagating. So we immediately get the action, a psi squared action over, well, there's three arguments here, and a delta function which replaced the phi. But now we can show that there's a subsector of these, subset of fields, psi, that have the following form. So they're reduced to the product of the three elements. And after a change of variables, we'll get down exactly to the effective field theory that we were looking for in the first place. Okay. So, yeah, I have 0 minutes. Okay. There you go. So what we've done, we've re-expressed 3D gravity amplitudes using a new group field theory where they're generated, where we can generate pure gravity amplitudes, and where we can also generate causally propagating matter amplitudes, and where the Feynman diagrams no longer have imposed delta function of the holonomy around a dual plaquette, that is a face of the spin foam, but actually impose the delta function, a flatness of the holonomy around a triangle. And we've seen that the EFT for matter occurs as a subsector of this GFT. Now, what I'd like to do after this is to extend this formalism to four dimensions and perhaps examine other pure gravity models with causal propagators. One can actually take a non-commutative Fourier transform from the group field theory to R3 or R2-1. And at least in the matter sector, it seems quite clear to me that one can do a canonical analysis even at this stage. So that would be interesting. Thank you very much. Thank you.